Let's read together Ezekiel chapter 18. In this chapter, Ezekiel refutes and repudiates the proverb of the sour grapes. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 4. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, "What do you mean when you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, 'The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge'? As I live, says the Lord God, you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die." Let's begin our study of this chapter, Ezekiel chapter 18, with some background notes. While Ezekiel was ministering the word of the Lord to the captives in Babylon, there was a certain popular proverb that was circulating among the Jewish people, both in Babylon and in Jerusalem. This proverb that was being circulated is here in verse 2. "The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge." Now, what was the meaning of this proverb? Jeremiah's word from the Lord was that Jerusalem and Judah were so far gone that they had passed the point of no return, and it was just a matter of time before it was all over. Even though the temple was still standing, the Lord was not going to save Jerusalem or the temple from destruction. So who was to blame for these sad conditions? As far as the people were concerned, they were not to blame. The former generation was to blame. And that's what they meant by this proverb of the sour grapes. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. In other words, it wasn't their fault. It was the former generation's fault. They would not admit that they were to blame. This proverb was not only circulating amongst the captives there in Babylon with Ezekiel, but we see from Jeremiah that it was making the rounds in Jerusalem as well. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 29 and 30. Well, both Jeremiah and Ezekiel refute and repudiate this proverb. And that brings us now to our doctrinal teaching points for Ezekiel chapter 18. So doctrinal point number one. Individuals are held accountable for their own sins. Individuals are held accountable for their own sins. God's answer to the proverb is in verse 4. "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die." In other words, every individual soul is held responsible and accountable for their own actions before me. You can't throw the blame on the former generation. Now from verses 5 through 18, three different cases are presented to illustrate this principle. The first case here in Ezekiel chapter 18 is of a righteous man who does right. Verses 5 through 9. "But if a man is just and does what is lawful and right, if he is not eaten on the mountains, nor lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, nor defiled his neighbor's wife, nor approached a woman during her impurity, if he has not oppressed anyone, but has restored to the debtor his pledge, has robbed no one by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry and covered the naked with clothing, if he has not exacted usury or taken any increase, but has withdrawn his hand from iniquity and executed true judgment between man and man, if he has walked in my statutes and kept my judgments faithfully, he is just. He shall surely live, says the Lord God." All of these items mentioned here were part of the Mosaic law. Eating on the mountains, by the way, is a reference to idolatrous feasts. And taking usury, of course, is taking interest, which they were not to do from their own people. So if a person refused to do these things which the law condemned and followed the law of God, this righteous individual would live. The second case is of a wicked son of a righteous father, verses 10 through 13. "If he begets a son who is a robber, or a shedder of blood, or who does any of these things, and does none of those duties, but has eaten on the mountains, or defiled his neighbor's wife, if he has oppressed the poor and needy, robbed by violence, not restored the pledge, lifted his eyes to the idols, or committed abomination, if he has exacted usury, or taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. If he has done any of these abominations, he shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him." The wicked son would die for his sins, and the righteousness of his father would not and could not help him. The third case is of a righteous son of a wicked father, verses 14 through 19. If, however, he begets a son who sees all the sins which his father has done and considers but does not do likewise, who has not eaten on the mountains, nor lifted his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, nor defiled his neighbor's wife, has not oppressed anyone, nor withheld a pledge, nor robbed by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry and covered the naked with clothing, who has withdrawn his hand from the poor and not received usury or increase, but has exacted my judgments and walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, robbed his brother by violence, and did what is not good among his people, behold, he shall die for his iniquity. Yet you say, why should the son not bear the guilt of the father? Because the son has done what is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes and observed them, he shall surely live. In this case, the father died for his iniquity, and the son lived because of his righteousness. Now in verse 20, a summary is made of all cases. Verse 20, the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. So the first doctrinal point is hard to miss, and certainly would refute people today who try to blame everyone but themselves for their wrongdoing. Individuals are held accountable for their own sins. Doctrinal point number two. The Lord does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. The Lord does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. Verses 21 through 32. But if a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him. Because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed, because of them he shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel. Is it not my way which is fair, and your ways which are not fair? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies. Again, when a wicked man turns away from the wickedness which he committed and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive. Because he considers and turns away from all the transgressions which he committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not fair. O house of Israel, is it not my ways which are fair and your ways which are not fair? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that the iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore turn and live. Throughout this chapter, the terms life and death refer to physical life and physical death, not eternal life and eternal damnation. Ezekiel 18 is not teaching salvation by works. Living a good and morally upright life will not result in eternal life for anyone. And if you are saved and have eternal life, you can't lose it by backsliding. No, death and life here in Ezekiel chapter 18 refer to physical death and physical life. Remember the context. The Jewish people had turned away from the Lord and were being conquered by the Babylonians and were facing physical death. It was because of their sins and continuous breaking of God's covenant. God was using the Babylonians as his rod and axe of discipline. that people could not blame it on the former generations or on the nation in general. They had sinned as individuals, and they would die as individuals. And they could not say that the ways of the Lord were not right, verses 25 and 29. This was moral law. The ways of the Lord are always right. They were wrong. However, there was a way of escape. What was it? Change your ways. God did not take pleasure in the death of the wicked, verses 23 and 32. Whether they were in Jerusalem, which would soon be under siege and conquered, or in Babylon as captives, the key to saving their lives as individuals was to turn from wickedness, verse 27. Change their ways and have a new heart and spirit, verse 31. And repent and live, verse 32. But if they would not, they would die as individuals because of their iniquities, regardless of their good deeds in the past, verses 24 and 26. Notice that verse 30 emphasizes that it is a judgment of individuals that is in view here. Verse 30, repent and turn from all your transgressions so that iniquity will not be your ruin. All of this, of course, has an application for today in reference to eternal life or death, which is also an individual matter. God does not take pleasure in the eternal damnation of the unbeliever. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, God is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3, 9. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says, God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2, verses 4 and 5. There is escape for any individual from eternal damnation. It is through personal faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. The Lord does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. What about practical application from Ezekiel chapter 18? Throw the scale out. Throw the scale out. We're talking here about a scale for weighing things. And I know a lot of you would like to throw the scale out when you step on that scale and look at your weight. However, the specific scale we're thinking of here is the balance type. Many people have the idea that when life is over, God takes all your good works and puts them in one side of the balance, and takes all your bad works and puts them in the other side of the balance, and weighs them, and then determines your destiny based on how the scale tips. Nothing could be further from the truth. Throw the scale out. Ezekiel chapter 18 and many other biblical passages show clearly that the scale model is not a good illustration of how God operates. With the Jewish people in Ezekiel's day, and the question of physical life or physical death, or in application with individuals today, and the question of eternal life or eternal damnation. Your destiny is not determined by the amount of your good works versus the amount of your bad works. It is determined by where you are in your relationship to God when the judgment comes. So make sure you've come to Christ as your personal Savior and throw the scale out.